Okay, it's bad joke time.
Oh boy.
Just like every other time.
Yeah, really.
Even though he's an asshat, why does Justice League always make sure that Guy Gardner is on their softball team?
I don't know. Why does the Justice League always make sure that Guy Gardner's on their softball team?
Because he's the ringer. Oh, yeah, this is it. I told you it was bad. What did Hal Jordan say to Sinestro the first time Sinestro betrayed the Corps, showing his true colors?
I don't know. What did Hal Jordan say to Sinestro? I don't know.
Yeah.
The premise.
But your name is Sinestro. I thought we'd be friends forever. Sinister? Sinestro? Kind of the root of his name. How many Green Lantern Corps does it take to screw in a light bulb?
Only one, but he murders all the others.
Depends on how many kilowatts the bulb is.
That was the best one.
I saved it for last.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Excelsior!
Hey guys!
Hey!
Hey!
Welcome!
Hey man, this is a nice episode we got here. It's nice to see you guys at this episode we're at.
Oh no, this is a nice episode.
So nice!
This episode's gonna treat you real good.
You got a really nice episode.
I know, thank you. I mean, I'm not very humble.
How's this episode doing?
Hey, I'm Bri.
You're very brychotic.
Yeah. Exceptionally so.
I'm Merc.
I'm Kyle.
We don't really do this every time, but those are our names.
We didn't do it last time.
No, we didn't.
We won't do it next time. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Nope. That's every other episode.
I refuse to do it next time.
Next time I want to be Bri.
You wish.
Oh, let's get to the news.
Yeah.
Current Zero News Flash.
Hey, can I start the news?
Yeah. What?
Yes.
I guess.
Very recent news. Week old by the time you hear it. But, you know that Titans show that they're working on?
Oh, yeah, they're doing that, apparently.
Yeah. They've cast their Dick Grayson.
Oh.
It is... Oh, what's this?
Sorry, is this animated or live?
No, it's a live action.
Oh, a live action Titans
It's a live action...
Show.
I actually didn't know there was one.
Called Titans, and it's like, you know, heroes in training. It's the Teen Titans.
Cool.
It's the Titans. The guy's name is Brenton
Clint
Thwaites.
Eastwood.
Brenton Thwaites.
Brenton Thwaites. Thwaites.
That's not real.
He was in the last Pirates of the Caribbean movie. According to the Hollywood Reporter, he'll be, you know, Robin becoming Nightwing.
Okay.
The series will debut next year in 2018 on Warner Brothers.
Is it CW's?
No, it's their streaming service that's going to have Young Justice on it. So we'll have a good Dick Grayson, and also this guy, maybe.
Get working on those butt exercises now. Dick Grayson's famous for his marvelous butt. It's a true thing.
It's true.
Okay.
It's very true.
Hey, look, there. That's how Tim figured out who Batman and the original Robin were. He looked at pictures of Dick Grayson's ass.
Just butts. Just hit a wall of butts.
Only one man can do a quadruple somersault with an ass like that.
Yeah.
The other one's like Mario.
This could be this guy, but I think it's this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's it. Mm. X-Men Dark Phoenix is a thing that's happening.
Yay.
Speaking of teen Bus. Superheroes.
Yeah. Simon Kinberg is directing this time. He's mm-hmm. been like a writer or producer on them for a while, I think, on the X-Men stuff. But he's so directing this time. Yeah, I don't know. I think Bryan Singer came back and then was like, oh, cool. And then he came back again. It was like, oh. So he's not coming back. So Simon Kinberg says that they have to, and there's a quote, find a way to ground it so it's not too intergalactic. And saying that the X-Men movies are human and emotional. My question there is, the last time you tried to do the Dark Phoenix saga, you found a way to make it not too intergalactic, and it was f***ing terrible. And in a post-Guardians of the Galaxy world, it's like, you can be human and emotional, and intergalactic.
Although I have to agree with him that you can't suddenly take the X-Men and go intergalactic.
Yeah, but
I think that's a huge leap to suddenly do in one movie.
The thing is, the Phoenix Force, like the Phoenix story, is by its nature pretty intergalactic. Oh, yeah,
it is.
So you don't, but just don't do it.
No, yeah, absolutely, I agree. Don't f***ing do this
again. If you want to do this,
stop doing the same f***ing shows over and over again.
It didn't work out too well last time. You don't need to do it again.
Maybe we should do
a lot of stories to choose from.
Maybe we should take some time out and do a Ghost Rider movie.
No, I think maybe another movie.
I hear that franchise is scratching at the door.
All right, if you don't tell me what I want to know, I'm gonna let him out.
You were saying.
Oh, no, I'm good. I was going to say something Magneto Professor X.
Yeah. That's all they can do.
Yeah.
Does anyone have anything else?
I do. And it's...
and it goes a little something like this.
Like this. I think we touched on it at one point, but there's a little bit more information going.
I'm just giving you a funky flow to go with. Yeah.
The Joker origin movie.
Oh boy.
I don't know if we talked about it in this or I've talked about it somewhere else.
We have not talked about it on this.
No? Oh, we haven't. Okay. So.
The Joker. Origins. Joker fights a helicopter.
And the MMA fighter, like mixed martial arts fighter, actor, and comedian, Brendan Schaub, was on the Joe Rogan Experience. Because where do you get your.
That's yeah.
Your comic book information? The Joe Rogan Experience. Right,
where's your finger? Because it's pretty far from the pulse.
I guess he's friends with Todd Feldman, who is one of the co-writers of this upcoming Joker origin movie, along with Scott Silver, who is also the director. Scott Silver directed 8 Mile. The two of them are co-writing it. And this is what Brendan Schaub said. It's dark, like a dark Joker. As a kid, he had a permanent smile, and everyone made fun of him. It's like on the streets of Brooklyn. It's super dark and real.
I hate it.
I was just looking at
what
Kyle's eye twitch as you said all those things.
I was Whittakering.
Yeah.
I hate you, Joker.
I hate you too.
I hate you more.
I hate you the most.
I hate you forever.
What's that though? That creepypasta about the kid with the smiley face.
I don't know.
It's something really dumb.
Yeah.
That's what this sounds like.
But, yeah. Okay, this is the information that I had before seeing this bit, was that this is going to be produced by Martin Scorsese.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
And this is a new Warner Brothers section for DC movies, like a new whole branch outside of the regular DC universe, because that won't be confusing at all. Everybody, like, I get it, comics can do that shit.
Yeah,
but I don't know if you could do that with movie franchises.
What about Logan? Did it with Logan.
Is it outside?
You know, it took 15 years of build up.
Yeah, but is it outside? Like, it doesn't affect anything at all.
Yeah.
There's more Joker movies coming out than Batman movies.
And if they go any...
Why?
And just the fact that it's dark, dark and real. Like, if DC goes any darker, they're going to do fucking snuff films pretty soon.
Yeah. Weird, you know what? That's going to be the best.
Harley Quinn snuff films.
I was going to say, that's going to be the Green Lantern movie.
Oh. Break out the fridge.
Yeah. Oh, God. Rough times.
Boy, how do we come back from that? Let's find out in the warm-up.
Yeah, let's go to warm-up. Yeah.
Welcome to the warm-up.
Hey, so for this week for the warm-up, we're going to do a Mad Lib.
Whoa.
We haven't done that in, like, a bit.
Like,
it's
years.
Been a while.
Like a deep minute. All right.
So it's the first time we've ever done it.
A deep minute.
It's post-episode 52, so.
I don't know if it is, frankly.
I think we rebooted, so I don't recognize anything before.
Yeah.
That's
who,
true.
Who are you?
Yeah.
I've got attitude and a jacket.
This color... So high, so high.
I have two colors, and they're both popped.
All right, I need an adjective. We'll go
delicious.
One for one. So Merc, then Bri.
Okay, delicious.
Okay, a noun?
El Camino.
Oh my god. All right, person?
Nicolas Cage.
Screaming at the door!
Another noun?
Another noun? El Camino.
A different El Camino. I'm writing that down.
Daily Planet Globe.
DP Glow. Got it. A verb? jump, swim, fly, fart, dance.
I was going to say dance.
All right. Hey, Bri.
Yep.
Can I get another noun? Sorry.
I'm a noun boy.
Noun.
Boy, this should really be much faster. Boxing glove arrow.
Adjective?
Salacious. Don't ask me how to spell it.
Hey, Bri.
Yep.
Plural noun?
Oh, my God.
El Caminos.
Crumbs.
Ice skates.
Number?
69.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Color?
Mauve.
Mauve. Adjective?
Rugged.
Color, adjective, noun.
Jesus God.
Pick one of those.
Battery.
Jesus God, battery. Is that a worn out character? Adjective?
Another adjective.
Yeah.
Smelly.
Hey, Bri.
Mm-hmm.
Noun. Adjective?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Psych.
Noun. No, it's an adjective.
Radiant.
Mm. All right. Plural noun?
Boobies.
Nice. body part?
El Camino.
Boobies.
Butt. Do boobies again.
I gotta go with a butt.
Nightwing butt.
Butt. A plural noun?
Underwears.
Underwear.
Is underwear?
This is good radio.
Yeah.
And finally, a place.
Mogo. It's a place and a person.
Nice. All right. Here we go. Doing a goddamn Mad Lib. As an alarm began to sound, the Flash flew at delicious speed to discover his El Camino. Captain Cold running away from Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage's jewelry store. But just as the fastest... What does DP Globe stand for?
Daily Planet!
Sorry. Just as the fastest Daily Planet Globe alive was about to subdue Captain Cold, another alarm started to dance. This time it was caused by Heatwave, who was robbing a boxing glove arrow.
I think they need to be more specific with that.
No, this makes sense to me.
Yeah, totally.
He was robbing a boxing glove arrow across the street. This calls for some salacious thinking, the Flash said to himself. He thought a moment and then started to run back and forth between the two ice skates so fast it looked like there were 69 Flashes.
Yes! Nice.
Pay off.
Both villains believed the Mauve Speedster was coming for them and fired their rugged weapons at him. But when the battery of heat... But when the battery of Heatwave's heat weapon hit the cold from Captain Cold's smelly weapon, it turned into a radiant... God damn it. It turned into a radiant cloud of boobies. Faster than the butt could see. The Flash disarmed the underwear just as the police arrived to cart the criminals away to Mogo. And then Kyle shot himself.
Yeah, that was delightful.
Yep.
And we all the children cheered.
Every last one?
Mm-hmm. Every last one. Mm-hmm. All right, well, guess what?
How many Flashes were there?
69.
Nice.
Oh, thank you for putting a button on that, because that was painful. Never again. Never again.
No?
Nope. Note to whoever edits this one, remind Kyle, no more Mad Libs.
You never know what you're going to get with a Mad Lib.
There's a DC book of Mad Libs, though.
Is it?
Like, that's what that came from.
Oh, really?
It came from the DC book of Mad Libs. Hmm. Batman was very smelly living in his butt cave.
What the f***?
Comics, as a rule, just go on and on forever.
Yep.
And that's just what it is. These characters will never go away. The stories will never end. We'll be dead and gone and dust, and Spider-Man will still be flipping all over the place.
Having problems.
Yep, having them problems.
I'm a teenager.
However, sometimes, like, you know, when you have sort of more of a creative sort of vision behind something. Like, you'll have, like, sort of a creatively guided, sometimes it's very, you know, corporate driven, but you'll have, it gets to a point sometimes, it seems like just a perfect endpoint. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's, you know, you've read it, and the characters you've followed for a long time, or known about for a long time, and it hits that point in the story where, like, it's the end, it feels like such a good ending, that it's kind of hard to keep following that character after that point. Mm-hmm. Do you ever get into that?
Yeah.
So I just want to talk about...
Endpoints.
Endpoints.
For me, can I give an example of this?
Absolutely.
Okay, then I will. Thank you for your permission.
No, don't.
I did ask.
He did.
Yeah. Why am I being rude? When Excalibur ended at the end of, 125 or something like that, Captain Britain and Megan got married. Colossus, Shadowcat, and Nightcrawler went back to the X-Men. I did not follow them to the X-Men. I was like, I'm good.
Yeah.
This is like, that was a point where I could have started reading X-Men. I was like, no, this is the last issue of this comic. I know all the characters are doing other things. Kyle's good.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, for those characters.
Thank God they ended it, because the book had really gone downhill the last year
or two. I mean, there's always, like, have some examples. I've talked about this before. I'm a big fanboy for this, the Wade, Mark Wade, and Chris Samnee Daredevil run. Mm-hmm. But that one, you know what I mean? Like, it sort of took him to a different place. He'd been mired in, like, Frank Miller-ish, like, grimdark misery forever. And it kind of took him to a different place. They had his secret identity was open, out in the open now. It was sort of like, oh, you can never really go back from that. Turns out you can frequently go back from that. And it, you know, it kind of built to a nice point there where he had, like, another showdown with the Kingpin, which sort of tied things up a bit, and it kind of, like, left him in a spot where I'm just like, you know what, as far as I'm concerned, like, that's a good ending for Matt Murdock. And knowing immediately the next writer went back to sort of Miller Town, it made it Miller Time again, and, like, did some magic to make it so his secret identity was secret again, and just sort of put things back to a familiar state.
Yeah.
And every time that happens, every time they sort of put the genie back in the bottle, it feels to me like, effectively, they've rebooted the character.
Yeah.
And it feels like the character that I've been following doesn't, that's not them anymore.
Yeah. None of that story matters.
Exactly.
And we've just, yeah.
You basically kind of wiped it out.
We've gone back to
Have to reference it again.
It's point where we can just start from there.
Here's our save point.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of those things, like, every time they do that, It just becomes very hard for me. I know sometimes, like, things like something upends the card maybe a bit too much to do that Marvel or comics thing where things kind of can't stray too far from the status quo.
Right.
But when you do, it feels like actual progression is being made, and it feels like you've actually hit that part of the story where, like, oh, here we go.
Here's some real progression, and then they cheat you out of it.
Exactly. Yeah. And then at that point, it's hard to care, and it's hard to even recognize the character anymore. Yeah. Same for, like, One More Day with Spider-Man. That's an easy one to go to for good reason. There was one, I'm sure I've talked about it in the past, but it was probably before we changed the format up, so hey, let's go back into it. There was a one-shot annual written by Matt Fraction, drawn by Salvador LaRocca, and it was, like, just literally... You know, Peter Parker's identity was out in the open, and, like, he was being hunted by the cops, and, like, sort of, it sort of reestablished the connection, sort of showing why Peter and Mary Jane are together, and what'll always keep them together, and they sort of had an uncertain future, but they leapt off into it. It was a nice ending. It wasn't, like, it didn't wrap things up with a bow, but it was, like, you know what, it felt true to those characters.
Yeah.
And then immediately after that, undid pretty much all the progression he'd had for, like, decades. And then it's like, you know what I mean? Like, that right there, if that was, like, the series finale of, like, the last Spider-Man story, I would have been, like, very satisfied.
It's like, you can very nicely pretend that's the end.
And I do.
Oh, so, somebody doesn't like a glowing spider on the chest, I guess.
I really hate it.
It's a bad look.
When you brought this up, and I was like, well, and how to take endpoints, the first thing that jumped to mind when you were like, a satisfying endpoint, I wasn't sure if it was like a satisfying endpoint where it just the actual comic ends, or we could walk off the comic, or whatever, but the first thing I thought of was Sandman, with Neil Gaiman, because that was the first time I'd ever heard, like, it had been done before, but it was the first time I'd become aware of a comic creator, a comic writer saying, I'm going to do a story, and it's going to be this, And that he did, like, whatever, 75 issues or whatever it was. And that was his story. That's what he aimed to do. It was several different storylines along the way, and he mixed some other stuff, but he was like, here's this overall arc, then we end, then we walk away.
Yeah, so it's like the exact opposite of anything Chris Claremont has ever done.
Exactly. Yeah.
Even when he stopped writing, that story is not over.
Yeah, so it was like, although, like, Gaiman has gone back to do Sandman stuff. But and, even then, I...
Apparently Sandman, like, Dream is factoring into the DC Universe now.
Is he? Yeah.
He showed up in some comic.
That's, that Dark Knight Metals?
One of those things, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, well, like, even when he came back and he did he's done a couple one-shots, and then he did that one series that came out last year.
The thing with the Death hanging out with Lex Luthor?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I didn't hear about that.
That was actually a good run. I like that. But still, it's like, you know, bringing something from, like, a finite story that really has no bearing on it, but...
Yeah.
Well, but that was the thing. Yeah, it's like,
I never do that with any other beloved done in one story, right?
I don't know what you're referencing.
No, because I never do it.
Other books that did a good, Wolverine and the X-Men, I thought did it great, because at the end of, I think it was maybe 12, maybe 20 issues, the character, like, some of these characters graduated. And that's how they should do every X-Men, these are the next guys book. Do a year of it, do 12 issues, bye.
Send them on their way.
Yeah. Anyway, I loved that comic. That was probably the last time I was really into the X-Men. Yeah. There's been a number of things, like, there's a lot of X-Men points where I'm just sort of like, okay, I mean, you could keep going, I suppose, but it's sort of diminishing returns. Everything past Wolverine and the X-Men has been kind of just, like, flailing.
Yeah. Well, even, like, New X-Men.
Yeah.
Like, that was, what, like, 50 issues?
Something like that.
That had an ending.
Yeah.
It ended, and it was like, okay, good. And, like, immediately after that, it was like, oh, half this stuff doesn't count. That wasn't really Magneto. Let's put them back in tights. And it's like, there was freaking progression. You can ignore everything else before and after it and just be like, this was a cool book that lasted for this many issues.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. And then, that's one of the things, too. I can always go back to that book I love. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to, you know what I mean, like, put that in the wider universe. It wasn't really supposed to be, I guess. That was, like, during that whole period where they're kind of doing very creator-driven stuff. You know what I mean? Trying to take things to a different level and not really caring about how it's going to work in the long term, I guess. Yeah. Which, you know, was pretty exciting.
That was Morrison, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because his Action Comics run, same sort of idea. Like, 12 issues, and you're in, you're out. And it was like, I'm glad that he did that story. Like, here's 12 issues. It's at the very beginning of Superman's career, so we don't have to worry about any of the other continuity stuff. This stuff could still work into continuity, even though it's a little bit crazy.
Right, and that's one, too. That's one of the, that was, like, the first New 52 book I read, and that's sort of, like, I read it, and I'm like, I didn't consider it, I just considered it as its own story. Yeah. Like, it's like, oh, here's a different take on, Superman story, and I enjoyed it for what it was.
I think, basically, any book that Morrison takes over,
yeah,
as soon as he gets off the book, it's like, alright, that's the end of that book. That's how the story ends, because he's very good at least wrapping up the story. It might take 9 years to tell the story.
Right.
But he'll tell a complete story.
While we're on it, Batman Incorporated.
Right here, right?
That's on the list,
yeah,
right?
Right, yeah. Next to Action Comics.
Because in my view, that was, like, such a natural growth and slash, like, endpoint for Batman as the concept.
Yeah.
You had, like, his influence combined with, like, the Wayne Corporation's resources to take things to that next level, to shine a light on the world, to shine a bat signal on the world. And if you try to sort of, they kept it sort of going to some capacity, but it seemed like they were just sort of like, nobody knew what to do with it. So they just folded it back to just, like, standard Batman. And it felt like, oh, okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you built such a thing here, and I mean, you could have kept running with it, but it felt like he had gone through all he'd gone through, and then he sort of took things to the next level, and it's like, oh, okay, that's a nice place to end it, right? Like, he built his Bat family, and now he has, like, an international Bat family, and they're making the world a better place, and it sends such an optimistic note.
But we'll never hear from them.
No, almost never again. Which, like, after that run, it was sort of like, they're making great Batman comics now, they've made great Batman comics since.
It's a different Batman, though.
But it, exactly. And that's how it feels, right? It's like a different... Yeah. I mean, literally, I guess it is.
I mean, and that's fine, because it's, you know, it's another really good creative team working on that character. Mm-hmm. And when they're done with the book, I'll be happy for it, too.
Right.
Because there's another full Batman story. But, like, for someone, that's their definitive Batman, and when that run's done, I'll be like, who's the next guy? I don't care. That's where the Batman story ends for me.
Right. I don't know, maybe that's part of, that's a better way to kind of look at it in a way. Like, you follow a character for, like, years or decades. Mm. It's sort of like, it's easy to just sort of keep looking at it like an ongoing thing, like the totality of it, but it's sometimes it's good to just sort of let them go.
That's why I like picking up, what I've done in the past probably 10 years a lot of the time, is just picking up old trades.
Yeah.
And then, like, oh, you end up finding these story arcs that you never knew existed. You read those, and they encapsulate. So you might have to pick, like, one or two or three of them up to get that full storyline. And then it's like, I'm done. Like, that was cool. I like that.
Yeah.
And it's not this blind search of, is this going to be good? Do I have to keep buying this? Oh, I got another issue. Oh, it's in my grab bag. Okay, I have this. Oh, someone else is doing this now. This is a big pile of shit. Why am I reading this? Should I still keep giving them money? God damn it.
Now I'm 4 issues deep and it's a 6-issue
thing. Well, that's the thing. And then it's like, I'm going to... And a lot of the time, I never know when to stop because I'm like, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. That, you know, like the first issue might be a little rocky, but you never know where it's going to go. And then that's exactly it. Like, you're 4 issues in and you're like, well...
Oh, Robot Ninjas again.
I'm kind of invested and... At the same time, I'm not that pleased, but am I enjoying it enough? And it's going to end in like 2 and then somebody else, or it'll go in another direction and it might be okay. But
Like that's what happened to me with that Moon Knight series, where I was like, I was, I think 9 issues in and I was like, okay, I thought this was going to be like a 6-issue arc.
Mm.
Here's another arc. As soon as this arc is done, I'm bouncing. And then I went to the shop to pick up the last couple of issues that I'd missed. And like, oh, hey, the last issue's coming out. Oh, it is a full story? Full, complete story? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'll stay on board.
Hmm.
And it was really satisfying, and I'm glad that there wasn't more after the last issue.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of those ones that, and that's a rare one, that it's, okay, it ended, and we're done. Yeah. Like, oh, all right.
It's almost like you planned that in advance and just didn't tell me about it.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
And a lot of the time, you have no clue that it's going to end.
Yeah.
Like that, I had no clue. There was a couple of them. Like, Sheltered, I really enjoyed that series, and I got to the last one, and I literally get to the back of the book, and it's like, the end. The actual end.
That was always planned as like a two-part thing.
A two-part thing?
Well, like, they did the first... book of it, and then they took a break for a few months, and then they went back to it.
But how do I know that? I don't. That's the thing. And I don't think it ever really said.
Well, you gotta look at the secret codes in the back of every issue. You didn't look at the secret codes in the back of every issue?
I guess not. I didn't get my Punisher Morse code thing. Yeah.
You don't know. You hold on to Morse card.
You gotta look at it at 3 a.m.
That's true. It's the only way to know.
Wait every 5 minutes.
Yeah. It's, I don't know, I just, like, characters that you always knew it's being just ongoing forever, but it's like, it's, I don't know. It's just nice sometimes to be like, that's an end for that. Well,
it's basically like anytime they take a character in a new and exciting direction.
Yeah.
You know, you read that until the next creative team comes on, and that could be your version of the character.
Mm-hmm.
That could be when that book ended, even though it's like, oh, no, it went on for another, like, 8 issues.
But that's so different than how we used to do it. Because it would be, here's one creative team that's, like, on it for 10 years.
Yeah, but that
just that doesn't happen anymore. So now it's like, you just find those nuggets of, like, oh, I liked this one, and then, whatever.
Or you just stick to creator own stuff.
Or that.
Because they know how long the book's going to run.
Yeah, you know what? Like,
assuming that it does well.
Like, reading Saga, you get the sense that he knows...
He's got an end.
He's got an end point he's going to get to, and then that'll be it. And
right. It's almost like he's telling... a story.
Yeah.
Or like not just all middle story.
Yeah. Or like a Why the Last Man or something like that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Why not?
Dumb. Yeah. It's kind of walked into like an argument. Like, I like it when you actually have those times when you actually have a creator who's telling like a story with an end with an ongoing.
It's like a novel. I've read a novel. Here's the novel. It's the start, and then it goes to the end, and then we're done.
As opposed to,
here's a novel. Someone wrote the beginning for me, and I'm not allowed to end it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm merely part of the whole storyline.
Yeah. Oh, so it's a Marvel event.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what I write.
Even if it's supposed to be a story, it's like, it didn't end.
It's not going
to
count.
I can write whatever I want, make it really cool. It's going to get reversed.
Yeah.
This
not even going to bother trying to end it. It's just going to be like,
keep reading. Am I there yet? Almost.
Yeah. You got to read the next event to get to the end of this event.
The monster at the end of this event. Onslaught.
It's just Marvel editorial.
It's just Grover.
It's a Grover Perlmutter.
It's Grover Prime.
Moment of Zero. 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 Moment of Zero. 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 Zero.
All right, guys.
Oh, my.
Today in the Moment of Zero, we are going to do a dramatic reading. Because that's always fun. Mystery Men Comics number 16 from 1940, starring the Dan Garrett original Blue Beetle.
Mm-hmm.
This one's Facebook friend of mine, Adriano Moraz, he's been posting panels of it randomly, and I'm sure this has been covered elsewhere on the internet, probably a bunch. I not that I've seen.
Yeah.
But you'll know why soon enough.
All right, let's jump in.
There's parts I'm going to trim out of it just because to keep things brief.
Yep.
It's only a 10-page story. The setup here, yeah. There's basically the villain of this piece, who I won't tell you their name yet, is sort of making playground equipment from shoddy materials. Gibbs. So you'll see like they're on this slide and it falls apart. And the kid dies.
The 6-foot child.
This child dies from falling off of like a slide that's like 6 feet tall, which seems preposterous. But here we go. So it starts with child death from negligence through shoddy building materials.
Is this Creature Commandos or something?
It is. Yes.
Okay.
The real monster is slides.
Yep. So we have some multiple characters here: Blue Beetle, Dan Garrett, who's also a police officer.
Okay.
He have his partner, who's named... What is his name? It'll show up. It's Mike. Mike something.
Alright.
We have his girlfriend, Joan Mason, girl reporter, because of course, it's always a girl reporter.
Yep.
We have a bunch of thugs. Bunch of random thugs.
Right. Well, we're all thugs, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, just randomly do thugs. Okay.
We have Dr. Franz, who is Dan's scientist friend. It keeps going.
Jesus.
All right.
Who's only got a few lines. And then we have the villain of the piece, who you'll find out his name through the course of this story. Okay, let's start this up. So there's a newspaper report. Mother declares child was murdered by faulty play equipment.
Dan Garrett and Mike Manigan stop at the coffee pot. Wait, which is
who's
which?
Who?
That's Mike. The mustache is Mike.
Oh, you didn't tell me he had a mustache. That changes everything.
That's a whole different character.
Looked to get my hands on that murdering scalpeens responsible for the kid's death.
He is a murderer, just as if he held a pistol to the kid's head.
Joan Mason, girl reporter, greets Dan Garrett.
Dan? I've just come in from interviewing the dead kid's mother. It was awful.
It was a terrible accident.
It was murder. And Big Dix is responsible.
Let me try that again.
It was murder. And Big Dix is responsible. Selling the city that paper he calls wood.
But he does. I'll bet Big Dix sells wood.
Leaving the coffee pot. Hey, what's the matter with us?
This racket is a case for the Blue Beetle.
Dan Garrett becomes aware that they are being followed.
You both are brave, but after all, there is only one Blue Beetle.
And I'll bring him in yet, too.
Sure you will, Mike.
The men quickly surround the policeman and the girl reporter.
If you coppers want to live, scram!
Big Dick's gunman!
I'm saying that again.
Big Dick's gunmen!
Why you?
If you weren't such a loudmouth reporter, you might live.
Dan flips the gunman over his head.
Pow! How do you like that for pitching? Big Dicks.
Looks like Big Dicks is going to be doing the catching tonight.
You all cry too much.
How do you like these bracelets?
The handcuffs.
He's putting handcuffs on the guys after they beat him up.
What a story!
Not as good as the Blue Beetle, but...
I'll be taking these birds to the station house, Dan.
My city editor will just eat up this story! Big Dick's man arrested!
I'll see you later. I have some business to attend to.
Nice work, Dan! Too bad you aren't the Blue Beetle to capture Big Dick's himself!
You can't have everything.
Can't have all the Big Dicks!
She doesn't say that.
No.
Entering the alleyway next to Dr. Franz's drugstore...
Big Dicks must be brought to justice! Good lord.
Dan watches his window friend. Wait. Dan watches his friend, Dr. Franz, through the window of the laboratory in the back of the drugstore.
That's what's in the back of drugstores, our laboratories.
Of course.
Dan enters the room silently.
You startled me, my boy. You drifted in like the wind.
I didn't want anyone to see me, so I came in through the window.
Dan prepares to change into the costume of the Blue Beetle.
So you see, I must get Big Dicks.
What the hell? Okay, now he's all dressed up as the Blue Beetle.
He's the Tick minus antenna.
Yeah, basically. Pretty much.
The Phantom.
Why? He's the Phantom.
I am ready to battle crime. You know my purpose is to bust the rackets.
Good luck, my boy. Remember that Big Dicks has many killers on his payroll.
Three of Big Dicks' killers guard the entrance of his private hotel.
The boss sent Lefty to bring her in.
If that dame reporter hadn't made such a fuss about the kid croaking, we wouldn't have to work today.
The Blue Beetle!
Just like a Blue Beetle symbol just flashes.
No, there's just a big beetle. It's a big beetle on the wall.
It's like, ooh, it's a big beetle. I hate beetles. Oh, no. I don't like bugs.
There's an extended sort of fight scene here.
Poof.
People don't say Big Dick so much, so it's not that funny. just so you know, he fights a bunch of dudes. Anyway, continuing.
The Blue Beetle makes a surprise attack on a motorcycle.
It's a cinch to plug him. Cut him down.
Bloodthirsty fellows, aren't you?
I'll get you for this, Blue Beetle.
Out of my way! And he just runs him down with the motorcycle.
Just right in the crotch.
Dude. Yeah. That guy is...
That's how he takes out the Big Dicks.
He's...
A lighting? Is that a word?
A lighting on his feet?
A lighting on his feet, sure. The Blue Beetle wheels to the other gunman.
Yes, with my bulletproof armor on. Is he responding to the narrator?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Can't I stop you?
He looks pretty...
Y-U-H. And he looks like a caveman.
He totally does.
That's a fancy thee.
That's a big font.
The killer draws a hatchet on the Blue Beetle.
This'll get you!
He's punched in the old face, and then he punches him through a window. Don't be cut up about it.
Oh.
Like all this glass that cut you. Well, I get it was an axe.
Nice jugular, you dicks.
The Blue Beetle smashes into the gang's headquarters.
The three of us will finish this mug for sure.
You boys don't care how many bullets you waste. Bullets are flying past him.
And he's just got a big smile.
Just smirking.
Not in the face.
Your aim's improving.
Hey, why don't you stay put?
Gotta make a contact.
Oh.
He's spinning a thug around by the feet. How do you like the merry-go-round?
The Blue Beetle releases the human pendulum.
Go say hello to your friend. Strike! And he throws him at another dude. And it looks like they're both dead now.
Yeah.
We're fine.
Try and duck this.
Thanks for the warning.
Like lightning, the Blue Beetle's hands shoot up.
You won't stay there long, don't worry.
Then the Blue Beetle completes the trick, which is tossing a dude.
You won't be up there long. Wait, what? He's just repeating himself.
You won't stay there long. Don't worry. You won't be up there long.
And then he throws him into a potted plant.
Head first.
Just like a flower.
Big Dicks.
Yes! With an exclamation mark.
And that's all it's...
Wait.
That's all... That's very fancy.
I know. It's got like a flowing scroll.
Big Dicks.
So, it's the Blue Beetle.
You've got to pay for your crimes, Big Dix.
As long as I have to pay, why not to you, Blue Beetle?
He pulls out a stack of fat cash.
That's a lot of money.
You're smart. Let's make a deal. $100,000 if you lay off. What'll you say, Blue Beetle? It'll be all yours.
You can't erase your crimes with money, Big Dix. You and your rackets must go.
Big Dix's foot presses a button while he keeps on talking to the Blue Beetle. The stairs collapse under the Blue Beetle.
So there's like a button. He's at the top of a flight of stairs, and there's just a button on the floor
that makes that anybody can hit at any
point. But how many times that accidentally happened and someone just falls to their death? He lands just bang on his head.
Totally on his head.
Just right on the top of his head. It's amazing.
Now Big Dix has got you where I want you.
I'm Big Dix.
I'm Big Dix. Did I mention I'm Big Dix?
So, he's having his thugs load him into an elevator.
Take him to the tower.
Yeah, okay, boss. You won't have fun to dump him, eh, boss? Here's the dang reporter, boss.
You're lying. You couldn't capture the Blue Beetle.
Take her to the tower where the Blue Beetle is. Then I will show her that that is where he is. And she is too.
I'm Big Dix.
I'm Big Dix.
In the tower.
In the tower.
Here's your great Blue Beetle.
I can't believe it.
He met his downfall on the hands of the Big Dix.
F***ing children.
There's only one way to get out of here. It's only 40 floors down.
And then we see the shot.
The street's made of Technicolor Lego.
Yeah,
that's a nice green building.
Yeah.
Let's see who this Blue Beetle is.
Okay, boss!
Jesus.
Boss, he ain't out! So
Blue Beetle kicks him in the crotch.
Oh, the crotch!
But you'll be.
Whoosh!
He goes flying butt first. Yeah. Just butt first into a wall.
Uh-oh, what's gonna happen?
I'm just stuck looking at this panel. Right? It's like bent in half, like, ooh, my legs are twice the size of my torso.
Oh, yes! The round isn't over yet.
Blue Beetle, you've saved me.
I've got a trick up my sleeve. How do you like the taste of that?
Anybody want it? No, I'm not even going to go there.
It's people, they know. Everyone knows.
It looks like he's like, shooting a ray. I guess.
No, yeah.
Big Dix locks them in.
They'll find you here after the gas clears away. Dead.
So we had some sort of gas gun.
Yeah.
The room fills with gas.
The window's our only chance.
Oh, Blue Beetle.
Hold your breath. And they're climbing out the window. Courage, Joan.
I'm not afraid with you, Blue Beetle. I'm holding my breath.
Climbing.
There's no gas.
Not at all. Like, they're outside.
I'm still holding my breath.
Look how long I can hold my breath for.
I'm fainting.
Wings.
So they're, like, really high up. And, like, he had to climb down how many stories? They're almost at ground level now, and she's still holding her breath. Anyway.
Are you all right, child?
Thanks to the Blue Beetle.
Yeah, there was an old lady there. Just
An old lady. Just walks out. Now for Big Dix.
Ready for Blue Beetle.
Although, Grandma looks evil.
Yeah, kind of. That's a sinister Grandma.
Yeah. Oh, we're suddenly Big Dix comes back.
And he's back in the building? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Whoever makes a move gets riddled. Riddle me, Dick. But first, to even the score with the Blue Beetle. Say your prayers, Blue Beetle.
Sometimes you watch my feet instead of my hands, Big Dix.
That's the most awkward pose.
Yeah, I know.
I'm kicking, but half my torso's falling off the back.
Kicks the gun away. See that you get a good shot, boys. Punches him.
Into the reporters who are taking pictures.
And then cop Mike. Is that cop Mike?
You know what? I don't remember what Mike's voice sounds like. So now he sounds like this. The son of a Blue Beetle.
Everyone. But he disappeared like he always does.
There's a newspaper. Blue Beetle scores again against crime.
Blue Beetle smashes dicks. The Blue Beetle returns to his beat after becoming Dan Garrett again. Just a few more seconds more, and I would have had that Blue Beetle. I'm Mike.
Too bad!
He kind of yells it.
Too bad!
You should have seen the Blue Beetle's latest exploit.
Duh, he ain't much.
Don't fret, Mike. Maybe you'll catch him someday.
Maybe I will. Maybe I will.
Then again, maybe you'll catch Big Dix.
Then again? Too bad!
So that was an excuse for us to say Big Dicks a whole bunch.
Yep.
God, when's Big Dicks coming back?
Yeah, I know. It's overdue. It's long overdue. So, yeah, while I was running through this with us, we're planning ahead, it's like, would something like this be too stupid and immature for us?
Not at all.
Turns out, no.
I thought it was actually going to be the boners thing.
No, no. Well, it's, you know, it's in the same vein.
The main vein.
Ugh, big dicks.
Alright, who are we?
I don't even know anymore.
I don't want to say my name. I'm just going to use a pseudonym.
I need a cigarette.
You're big dicks.
I'm Fingers McGee. It's a pseudonym I used to use. It says it on my scene card.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Fingers, Thumbs, McGee.
That's cool.
That's who did Ski Ninjas for the first 5 years of it. But then I decided to go by Kyle Lees, and that's my name. You can check my stuff out at thekylelees.com, or you can just Google my name, Kyle Lees, or you can just find me, wherever. My name, can you guess what it is?
Thumbs.
Regular Dicks.
I'm Merk. You can find me at merkasylum.ca, merkasylum.ca. You can find my books and my shirts and my stuff and my pictures and my stuff and whatever. I take commissions and do commissions and make stuff for you. Some photography too. You can find me at Merk on the Facebooks and Instagram, Merkanaut, like astronaut, M-E-R-K-A-N-A-U-T. And that's all I got.
Alright, I'm Bri Kotick. You can check out my comic at welcometohereafter.com, which returns September 19th, which I'm assuming is, like, next week at this point.
It's soon.
It's coming up real fast, and I'm hoping I'll have a bit of a buffer by then. Fingers crossed.
Thanks, as ever, to Kenneth Preston Merkley for doing all the awesome music for us. If you want to check out his stuff, just look him up, or look him up under Ocean City Defender. He does a lot of really cool music.
Yep, he's doing a lot of film score stuff, and yeah, check him out.
And, I'm just going to throw this out here every week until it's here, but you can see, if you're in Thunder Bay or the area, you can see me and Kyle at ThunderCon coming up. We're going to have a booth. You can see me and Merk at in Winnipeg at the end of Winnipeg. At the end of Winnipeg.
At the end of October.
At the end of Winnipeg.
In Winnipeg at the end of October at C4 Central Canada Comic Con.
Yep. Yeah.
It's going to be good times all around. It's going to be a busy couple months.
Huzzah.
Yeah. Yep. And, well, I hope we see you next week, because when you're listening to this podcast, we're watching.
That's Stop how technology that. Works.
That's disgusting.
Dude, you're such a big dick.
Well, that part I like.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, come on. It's impressive.
It is. That's good. Oh,
damn.
That was so dumb.
Dick Celsior.
I came up with all of those in the shower today.
You know what I did in the shower today? Nothing, because I didn't take one. Smell me.
Let's start the show.
I'll smell you later.
Oh, he'll smell you now.
He will. Cut all of that.
He will.
Delicious.